Borough Talks is the Borough Market podcast with me, Julia Crouch. Join us as we sit down with the chefs and traders influencing how we eat today, exploring the ideas, traditions, and passions that shape our food culture. Follow on Spotify and join us for conversations worth savouring.
We talk openly about sex, but when we don't talk about what happens when sex doesn't lead to pregnancy, when months turn into years, when every negative test feels like a quiet grief, when the doctor visits and he replaces intimacy, when something in your body is supposed to do what it doesn't. Infertility affects millions of people, but most suffer in silence. Today, we're breaking the silence. Joining me is Dia Claudia Schwartz. She's a certified neuroscience and integrative health expert, founder of Newt, and someone who has personally went through IVF. Her son was born through IVF, and today she is here to talk about the biological, emotional, and deeply human side of infertility. Dia, I am so grateful to have you to the show today. I know I just want to start here because I just want to dive right deep into it. You know, what is infertility? You know, why is it such a personal mission for you?
Hi, Stacey. So great to meet you again and to be with you in the show. And we have done a few shows, few podcasts together. And this one is a very special one. It's very dear to me because it's a personal one. You mentioned that I have been through it myself, but this is not the Dia podcast about what I have been personally through. I just want to empathize with everybody who is going through this journey. And yeah. I know what I'm talking about from a professional, but most importantly, from a personal perspective. And, you know, the topic moves me so deeply because infertility is never just medical. It touches identity, it touches intimacy, it touches womanhood, but at the same time also masculinity. So also touches hope. Mm-hmm. As I said, I went through IVF myself. My son was born through IVF. It's the biggest gift. So yeah. it's IVF for me, it's like a very painful story. And on the other hand, I would call it the most successful one in my life. But I also know the injections, the early morning blood tests, the stress, the concerns, even talking about myself feeling worthless. I am not even able to become pregnant. I'm not even able to receive a child. I'm not able to become a mother. That is a very painful feeling. And then as I said, IVF is a powerful medicine, but it's also physically and emotionally very intense. What struck me the most, actually, I was even thinking of writing a book about that, is the silence. Because you mentioned at the beginning, we talk about sex, we celebrate pregnancy announcement, but we do not talk about what's happening when this sex doesn't work, when ovulation stripes and, you know, replace any time of intimacy or spontaneous intimacy, when, yeah, literally intimacy becomes scheduled, when, you know, every period, when it doesn't work, feels like a grief, and that silence just needs to end. Oh, yeah. That needs to end. There should be no shame.
Exactly. And
you, everybody listening out there, and I'm not only addressing the woman, I'm also addressing the man because they feel so hopeless very often. Mm-hmm. Even the communication between the couples, they both feel hopeless. There's a huge grief. And if we would discuss that more openly, and we're doing that today, we talk about numbers. And why do we talk about numbers? Not because we think we're just a number, this is just a number. No, because numbers matter. We do not feel so alone. It's not only you as a woman, not only you as a man who is listening now going through this, you're not alone. And we're talking about the reasons why this fertility and these numbers are so much increasing. And we hopefully talk about potential solutions.
Oh, yes, yes. You know, infertility is not just, you know, medical. It affects our identity. It affects our confidence. It affects our relationships. You know, Dia, what does infertility do emotionally to women?
Every woman deals with it differently. Some of the women really literally feel they are worthless. Some of them are, they are not only losing their identity, they're literally losing their hope, because we're so much connected to, you know, everything is built around, we're going to have a family, we're going to build our life. Reproduction is something biological. It's a deep desire. That is not only a psychological thing. This is driven by hormones. So everybody feels different. Some women really suffer from heavy, heavy depressions, and even worse after that, unsuccessful fertility journey. And even some who had a successful fertility or IVF journey, they are very much in panic, because it didn't happen naturally. So every woman deals differently with it. But as I said in the beginning, there is too much silence about that, because I really, Stacey, I want to talk about numbers. So people would maybe not feel so alone.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. When we started, we made a product for female fertility with Nut. And the reason for it was, I was trying to get support, and not only medical support or hormonal support, so mental support. And then when we created this product with my team, we looked in all of that, but we also looked into the numbers. And in fact, about 1 in 6 couples globally experiences infertility. 1 out of 6 couples. So in the US, millions are navigating through this right now in this moment. And another thing is, IVF cycles can cost like $15,000, $25,000 or more. And multiple cycles are needed. So that's a different angle, right?
Yeah.
It's not only that you have the issue that you maybe you have a fertility issue, you maybe also have a huge financial issue, because you cannot afford it. So there are several layers. If you can afford it, or your health insurance takes care of it, that's great, but it still doesn't mean that it affects you less. And something, you know, people rarely talk about is that 40 to 50% of infertility cases involve male factors. It's, you know, it's culturally, women carry most of the stigma, as always, for the men's listening to it. But, you know, women inject the hormones, women undergo the procedures, women feel blamed. Infertility is treated like a private failure instead of a complex biological conversation. And I want to touch base one more time, because I hear that very often when women would reach out and they ask about the female fertility product, the first question I always ask them is, or my team asks them, hey, have you spoken to your partner? Did he make a sperm count test? Is your partner smoking? Is he having testosterone injections? Craziest, newest type, or not, it's not newest, oldest type. We discussed it in former podcasts, but there are so many layers, and it's also about the men. And I don't want to talk about me personally here, but I can just only say it out of personal experience. It's so important that men support the fertility journey or the IVF journey of their partner, of their wife, of their girls, by just also checking on themselves, sperm count, healthy nutrition, stress reduction, and looking into their psychology and physiology as well. It's not only the woman, because
yes.
very often women undergo IVF treatments, and only when they have check the sperm of the man's and the sperm count, the sperm quality, they see that month of hormonal treatments were just absolutely useless, because yeah. the problem is the man. Mm-hmm. And very often when we, you know, we want to have a baby and still the next test is negative, we feel guilty. We don't yeah. even discuss this with our partner. Hang on, could that, you know, potentially be you as well?
Yeah.
There's a big shame around that. And mm-hmm. for man is as painful as for woman.
Oh, yeah.
Identity, you know, and many, many reasons and many layers around that topic. And yeah, it's the increase in infertility is crazy. And the reasons and the layers behind that is something I really would want to discuss, because one thing is, how you approach a healthy lifestyle, what can you do personally, and you, meaning man and woman, what right. can you do personally to support your fertility journey? But there are other factors who are very, very important to look into to make mm-hmm. sure that you don't even end up in potential infertility. And again, this is not a Stacey and Dia fairy tale podcast here. This is based on facts, on numbers, where you really want to make sure that you are aware of those, let's call them external factors or issues and reasons why infertility is increasing, or you may be even suffering it from yourself. If you feel ready, Stacey, I would love to dig deeper into the reasons behind, or maybe you have discovered reasons as well yourself.
I would love for you to dig into the reasons, and then we can like interact with each other and go over this in a deeper, a more involved way.
Beautiful, beautiful. It's actually, you know, a very multifactorial topic. We're now living in the most chemical exposed area in human history.
Yes.
I mean, that's a matter of a fact, right? So mm-hmm. the endocrine disruptors, pesticides, plastics, BPA, microplastic, our favorite topic, Stacey, synthetic and natural hormones everywhere, even in water systems. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Water systems, especially mm-hmm. in the US. These are heavy endocrine disruptors, chemicals
yes.
that massively interfere with hormone signaling.
Mm-hmm.
With women and men, both. And reproductive tissue, you know, is exquisitely sensitive to exactly
yes.
those hormonal balances. So even subtle but chronic disruption over time matters. So it's not one exposure, it's this whole overall load over time, which is then creating issues like insulin resistance. And, you know, insulin isn't about blood sugar only. It directly influences the ovarian signaling.
Right.
Women are very often not aware that this has a direct impact. So when insulin balance is disrupted, for example, your ovulation often becomes very irregular. So this
yeah.
PCOS diagnoses have risen dramatically. For everybody
yeah.
who doesn't know what that is PCOS is when a woman's hormones are out of balance, and not per se linked to infertility, but in that context,
yeah.
linked to to infertility. It's the irregular missing periods. It's the trouble of ovulating and having constant, like, proper circles. It's a difficulty getting pregnant, basically.
Yes.
Also linked to acne, oily skin, and also linked to, you may observe extra hair growth, you know, like on
yeah.
the chin or the belly. Then weight gain or difficulty losing weight is also it's an indicator. It's all often connected to insulin resistance. That means
yeah.
the body has trouble regulating blood sugar. And
mm-hmm.
that is why it affects the ovaries. massively. So this metabolic dysfunction is now, it's common in almost every young woman. And I feel terribly sorry about that. And on top, we have the ultra processed foods, the chronic stress.
Yeah.
This irregular sleep, the endless scrolling. All of this affects insulin and therefore it affects fertility. Then another topic, the early hormonal birth control.
Yes.
Many girls are placed on the pill with like some of them with 13, with 14, with 15.
Yeah. And
they are on this birth control for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Very often it's just because, oh, I have acne, I take the pill now, and baby pill, or I have an irregular cycle.
Yeah.
We're coming back to my favorite topic, and meaning that's the topic where I really, 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 I feel very angry. And I also feel angry to my colleagues, meaning the doctors, who would not look into the deeper layer. Why this girl has an irregular cycle? Mm-hmm. Why this girl has acne? What about gut health? You know, it's the people don't look, or very often doctors don't look into the reasons behind. And it's not the responsibility of a 14-year-old to decide that. They are unhappy about acne, or they are unhappy about painful menstruational cycles or irregular cycles. They need help, but their help, again, it's not a pill, not our female fertility supplement, not any kind of pill. That's not help. That's suppressing symptoms again. Because guess what? The pill does what? It suppresses your ovulation. That's how it works. And now, everybody's wondering after taking 20 years anti-baby pill that ovulation is all over the place after that. How shall your body just recover, you know, like this? And ovulation is also not just about pregnancy. It's your biological rhythm, the communication between your brain, your ovaries. It's your hormonal balance. So some women, they transition off easily, and others need a lot of time to restore endocrine signaling.
Yes.
We need to give the body time. That's another very important topic I want to mention. It's like we feel like, okay, I'm taking the anti-baby pill, I'm not getting pregnant. I stop taking it, I'm getting pregnant. No. Please, colleagues, everybody listening out there, doctors, please educate women on potential or in fact side effects.
Yeah.
And please also educate them on a phase of transition, especially when women stop taking the anti-baby pill. Chronic stress is another factor.
Oh,
yeah. We glorify productivity, especially in the US, right? We glorify it. I mean, I cannot say we because I'm German, but I'm there so much. And I love the country. I love it for its productivity, for getting things done, for being successful. Oh, it hurts if you're not successful with the most basic thing, getting pregnant. It hurts so deeply. And chronic stress is such a massive impact, or such a massive factor, especially for this, and I'm talking about myself now as well, high achieving woman, you know, balancing career, motherhood, relationship, fitness. Our chronic cortisol levels and our chronic cortisol evaluation, it signals it's always in survival mode. And one important, very important sentence I really would want to invite you to listen and to tune into. If you have chronic stress, you're in survival mode. What is happening then? The body prioritizes safety over reproduction.
Right.
And actually, that is a good thing from the body, right?
Yeah.
It's a good thing. You should not reproduct to be like, sorry for this very, yeah, very, it sounds almost like a phrasing something or being like very dissociative to the fact that you're trying to get pregnant. But
yeah.
For the body, it's a burden. It's very, 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 very intense. And if the body's in chronic stress and in survival, all the prioritization is on safety or nothing else. So you want to make sure that your nervous system is nourished, because then your reproductive wellness and the fertility, the potential to get pregnant really, really increases. The reproductive system and the nervous system, they are really deeply connected. And the body literally perceives chronic stress, fertility signaling, and it can downregulate. Another thing, gut health and antibiotics. The gut regulates estrogen metabolism and inflammation balance. Not only that, by far more, but we are not in a gut health podcast. But here is where the hormones are. I don't want to say built, but you have more neurons going up than from here going down. This is very interesting to keep it very simple, right? That's something which when I studied and went deeply into my studies of neuroscience, I was like, hang on a minute. This is where the party's going on, not here. This is when I really realized what it means. Yeah, what the phrase my gut feeling means. So I want to say that one more time. The gut regulates, let's call it just hormonal metabolism and inflammational balance. So repeated antibiotic exposure, processed diets, low fiber, they do disrupt the microbiome. So the gut hormone axis plays a central role in endocrine balance. So we do not talk enough about gut health in fertility conversations. And I really want to invite everybody listening to just check if the gut health is, if your gut is okay, if there is anything you can do to nourish your gut, because that will definitely make your fertility journey a more hopefully pleasant one, but also for the overall body, it's the best thing to do to look into your gut. And then last but not least, the male fertility, this line, you know, we mentioned that at the beginning, sperm counts have this line significantly over decades. Testosterone levels have dropped. That's why we have this huge business in the US with the having or getting, I'm getting my testosterone injection. Like you, I don't know, you shop or you get gasoline for your car. But that also has impacts. Environmental toxins also for men, and endocrine disruption is not only for women, it affects men too. So yet culturally, women are investigated first, and we really should balance responsibility, not by kind of blaming or like, oh man, you're also responsible. No, because it will make it a more enjoyable and also talking facts, a more successful journey. You are working on a family. It's not a woman's job to work on that. Right. Both of you are affected, and both of you should be responsible, help and support each other by understanding that there are a lot of external factors you can work on, and you just do not only depend on doctors.
Right. So true. You know, I want to just make it clear to people, you know, we've talked about many factors that can cause infertility. And we talked about how many people, how common it is, 1 out of 6, you know, but so many women blame themselves and it's not their fault. And, you know, what's your intake, you know, and what do you want women to understand about that comment? Because so many women blame themselves and it's really not their fault. You know, there's so many other things that could be going on, the environment, the food we eat, you know, other factors, you know, so many women just beat themselves up and they blame themselves.
Yeah, they do. And you know, Stacey, I feel like first time ever, I've never done this in a podcast or just even barely with my friends. I would want to talk about my own journey in that context because I want success, right? And success meaning I understand that if I work for something hard enough, I'll eventually be successful.
Yeah.
That doesn't work with your fertility journey, right? So yes. I want to answer your question by sharing a bit what happened to me, because my fertility journey, and also in that context, my IVF journey, because a fertility journey always starts, normally never starts with an IVF. You try months and years often, and then you dare to, you know, see a doctor, because very often also the men are blocking that because they are afraid. Again, it's as painful for men as for women to understand that there might be physical issues. For me, my fertility journey, and I hope, I want to invite everybody listening that this is going to give you hope. Because it's worth fighting for. Mm-hmm. It really taught me resilience and surrender at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I get goosebumps. I'm not sure if you can see it, but my son is now almost 16 years old. And he is the most beautiful thing, the most beautiful human being, my gift. And it was a very intense journey, but it's worth. So never stop believing that it will work, and really try everything, because, and everything doesn't only mean run to the next IVF doctor or do this or that. We have discussed factors that can, you know, disrupt or negatively impact your fertility journey. Don't stop believing. And it's a painful situation you're going through, especially if you talk about IVF. You know, you inject hormones daily. Yes. Even without IVF, very often women inject hormones, and you have this hope, you know, you watch your follicles grow on a screen. It's different than when you just a normal woman just understands after sometimes 4 weeks, sometimes 8 weeks, we're expecting a baby. But what you do during a fertility journey, IVF or not IVF, you literally constantly control, observe, you're constantly hoping, you're counting the days, will I have my period, or hopefully not. So you constantly, it's under pressure, and you measure hope in millimeters, right? You become super over disciplined, but at the same time you become very patient, you become super vulnerable. IVF is a miracle, or let's call it any kind of, not only IVF, fertility support you can look after or look into. It's a miracle of modern medicine, but emotionally for couples, is one of the most complex journeys you can walk through. During that time, I really promised myself, if I ever create something in the fertility space, it will not be built on fear. It will be built on empowerment. And empowerment means look into the factors that could have in the past impacted your fertility, men and women. Look into the factors what are in fact still potentially negatively impacting your fertility journey. Look into the factors and options and opportunities where you have to positively impact your fertility journey. Psychological factors are super, super important. And I personally, I felt so useless. Mm. I didn't even dare to tell my husband at the time that I felt I failed again. And then, you know, you constantly. It's all about the cycle. It's all about the period. It's all just all about that. Also, your sexual life changes with your partner. It's like, okay, now we have a date. Now we have to do this. Now we have to do that. Or even crazier, a man, you know, gives the sperm, hands it out to the IVF center.
Yeah.
It's a total different situation. And it's something which deeply, deeply impacts the couple's life as well, and partners, and many, many relationships fall apart. I really want to encourage you to speak openly, look into the psychological factors, and don't stop believing.
Right. You know, how does it affect the communication between partners?
What I observe and what we hear a lot, and what I've heard a lot in psychological sessions or coaching sessions I had in the past with patients, it's very often based on fear and shame.
Mm-hmm.
And this fear and that shame, both sides, it's like, I'm not enough. And that changes the dynamic. Very often, you have a very normal relationship. Everything is great. And you love each other deeply. And then for whatever reason, the journey becoming parents doesn't work the way it's supposed to work. Yeah. Very often, it starts with blaming, unfortunately. Oh, but you have done, you've been drinking too much. Oh, but you, again, whatever, you have been on medications, on you did surgeries, you whatsoever. Very often it starts with blaming, and then there is a phase of realization, and this is where love should really, really, you should be remembered, and you should remind of what you have, and that it's not only about being parents, is also still about you as couples. And very often after the blaming, the realization comes. When the realization is there, it's a journey where the couple before, which was just, you know, thinking it's oh, we're just going to have a baby and we have a family, is facing struggles, and that very often can deepen relationships. But also very often there is a dynamic which I observe, is that either man or woman feel like the victim, or the man are treating the woman like a victim, and the women are very upset with that, or vice versa. That is a very unhealthy dynamic, but it's not based on, you know, most of the time that somebody wants to be mean or bad, or just, oh, you know, you're responsible. Very often it's people are hopeless. So I observe a lot of dynamics here, which are most of the time not really helpful. And that's why the psychological factor, Stacey, it's really so, so, so important.
Right. Now, why do so many women internalize guilt within themselves?
That part really breaks my heart the most. I think this is a very old story, right? Because women are supposed to, it's the most natural thing. It's like you are responsible, pretty much. It feels like that. You get pregnant and you give birth. Very often women even feel responsible when the baby dies during the process of birth. It's a general thing that mothers, they do feel responsible. And they are, very often they are responsible, right? When a woman is pregnant and the man disappears, the baby will still make its way.
Yeah.
Other way around, it's not happening. The women are connected with their body. And I think that is the beauty. But on the other hand, it's a huge responsibility we carry within us anyway, but we're also taking on this responsibility if our body is not functioning the way we would wish.
Right.
We take on the blame. But ladies, don't take on the blame. Don't take mean? You're not responsible for your past, right? You are responsible for your here and now and for your healing. So
Yes.
blaming and shame should have no space here. And
Yes.
still, and I know it from myself. I was hiding even when I was crying because my husband was like, come on, it's not your fault, right? It's not your responsibility, but still I felt it is.
Yeah.
I felt it is my responsibility. And then I was even hiding from him to cry, to not show him that I still feel guilty.
Yeah.
And the fear. Another thing is the fear. Oh, is he going to leave me? Is he going to divorce me? That is another part. And very often it happens, or it still happens nowadays. The woman is responsible. If she's not pregnant, it's per se the woman's fault. Many cultures is still the case. And then they will, in some cultures, they just exchange women, and even worse. So I think it's not only the personal thing only, it's the overall situation and the overall understanding of the entire world and what we have been told and what we think is right, that passed on to us. It's literally a belief. It's an old belief that is not so easy to erase or to get rid of. I would even call it, Stacey, it's collective. It's this. And it should be a sacred journey, but it's a collective guilt we're still carrying. And that is painful. And that leads me into something I really would want to touch, the psychological factors here. Because infertility just does not, you know, only challenge the body. It really shakes identity.
Yes.
For many women and men, but for many women, the ability to conceive really feels sacred. And, you know, the creation is woven into our biology, our cycles, our rhythm, our capacity to nurture. We are identifying ourselves with that. When that falls apart, seems not possible. You feel like, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. How is my life going to look like? Will my partner divorce me? Will I even find a new partner again? Oh my God, I cannot become a mother. We can't become a family. It's really shaking identities. And when a woman or when a couple deeply longs for a child, they cannot conceive. Especially in the woman's part, something inside her really questions her wholeness. Why can't my body do what it's made to do? Am I broken? You said it, right? Am I less of a woman? It's that internal dialogue is devastating and it's freaking painful.
Yeah.
This sacred vulnerability in wanting a child. Month after month, you open yourself physically, emotionally, spiritually. And when your period comes again, it feels like a loss. And Stacey, it's that silent loss.
Right.
There is no funeral. There is no ritual. There is no acknowledgement. It's this private grief. You don't even want to share with anybody.
Yeah.
So to your friends, like, oh, sorry, I mean, again, was not possible. It just feels awful.
Yeah.
It's a lonely journey, but again, it's worth it. Just nobody shows the tears after a negative test. Nobody shows. It's social media is full of these positive messages of baby announcements, so on and so forth. All that kicks in. So women often were not able to participate that journey successfully. They feel useless. They feel ashamed, embarrassed. Even like their own body betrayed them. And then relationships suffer. Sex becomes scheduled. It's all a performance driven time thing. Yeah. Romans turn into data and women again internalize guilt. The poor man very often feel terribly helpless. Some relationships grow stronger, some fracture, fail. Now all this disappointment. Infertility in one sentence, it really can feel like a rejection from life itself. You know, for me, there's a deeper truth. A woman's birth should not be, and for my truth, it's not defined by reproduction. Feminine is not limited to biology, yet the longing is real. That longing deserves reverence. And women and men, mostly women in that context, they need to feel held and not pressured. They need to feel seen and not compared. This infertility generally is an unacknowledged grief. And grief requires what, Stacey? It requires compassion.
And I think that's what women need emotionally during this time, don't you think?
I absolutely agree. And that is why I really crafted female fertility. I really, really wanted a product within our Nude portfolio supporting that journey. That woman, you know, I want women to feel proactive, not helpless. And this whole female fertility, as we mentioned, it's a sacred journey. It's a beautiful, beautiful journey. But at the end of the day, it's also built around metabolic and endocrine support. So I cannot emphasize enough that you look into your past, you look into your now. Do I drink enough? Do I eat well? Do I avoid all the things we have discussed? And it's there are specialists out there who may even for sure know more than myself or we in this podcast. But there is a lot of opportunities where you can support yourself. And we for an our product, we really we dig deeper into I love it, you know, to combine the ancient knowledge with the latest science. And I love the name, the ancient science. I always call it now the ancient science because knew or they know sometimes they knew so much more than we do now. I don't know why we forgot about all that. But the answer is in the nature. And I'm not neglecting, I'm gonna repeat it one more time. I had an IVF child. It's not a child, it's a young gentleman already. And I really am really grateful for the medicine and the science, but there is a lot of natural opportunities. That's why we created female fertility and we digged into different ingredients who naturally support this journey and naturally support the mitochondrial energy, naturally support the hormonal balance, and making sure that you feel nourished from inside out. And you want to make sure, besides the product, what we have been talking about, our product, whatever product you're going to take, and I will not stop or stop talking this in this podcast until we have mentioned it. You make sure, please, that your fertility, any kind of supplement, but your fertility product, again, I'm addressing you ladies and I'm addressing you gentlemen here listening. You want to make sure your supplement product does not contain any fillers. It's very important. We have been talking at length in this podcast about the impact of any unnatural or spikes or any impacts from food, processed food, hormones in food, even hormones in water. But you want to make sure when you have a supplement and you're on in a fertility journey, or maybe you have fertility issues, men and women, you want to make sure you really avoid fillers. And fillers are like let me just name the most important one. So when you turn the bottle, you look it up and you may recall it, or you may want to write it down. But I'm sure, Stacey, you always, you know, your team picks out the most important things here in this podcast. So I want to make sure that when people invest money in their health, that they look after good products. And I'm not saying that our female fertility from Nude is the only good product. I believe in it. We're using it. We're successful with it. But put that aside. Look on the backside of the label. Please do not choose products with fillers. Those as maltodextrin, magnesium stearate, silicon dioxide, any kind of industrial fillers, any kind of sweeteners. Most of them are bulk agents, and they're really not good for your gut health.
Right.
And go back to gut health, but please look after yourself and make sure that you, when you support, you try to support your body, make sure you choose a supplement without additional fillers, without any fillers if possible.
100%. Now, Dia, you live this yourself. So what was the hardest part of the IVF emotionally? Was it the injections? Was it the weigh-in? Was it the uncertainty? Was it the loss of control? And what did this teach you about resilience and surrender?
All of it, Stacey, all of it. It's the mix of everything. Because one day, you're very embarrassed that you have to give yourself injections, or sometimes your partner has to give you injections. And those are not very nice, right? Some of them, they have include heavy oily liquids, and it's sometimes also painful, but that's not the real pain. One is the physical pain. You get used to it. You're just like, okay, I have to do it. But it's embarrassing because you feel, I felt like, why me? Why me again? Why is that not one thing which should just happen naturally? I have taken Vantibaby pill for quite a while. That was for sure a very, very massive factor. But I also suffered a lot from grief and family losses, you know? So those family losses and those stress factors really, really have significant impact in your fertility journey. And that's one thing. And the other thing you have, or I struggled with is my, you named it. It's a loss of control. I like control. I like to make sure that things are, you know, in order, and especially, you know, this vulnerability, or this feeling of being so vulnerable and not, not able to gift my husband with a baby. Like it's a mix of everything. It was devastating. And especially when I tried it 7 times, and obviously 6 times it was not successful. And hey Stacey, you already know your baby before anybody else would ever even know, any woman would know that she's pregnant. You know, you know this by far earlier. You get to know your tiny one because that's how it works. They have if that is a classical IVF journey, was in my case, you feel like, okay, do I have enough eggs? Are they able to get enough eggs that it can be injected with the sperm of my husband? And then that's the first thing. Then the second thing, okay, does it work? Will they? You know, is it possible? Is it possible for the lab to literally to do that? And then the next thing, will it die or will it survive these 3-4 days in the lab? You know your bad baby already, and it felt for me the baby, because it's, when does the soul come in, right? That's a total different conversation. But when you ask me about these things, it really reminds me that I was praying already in touch with my little one. And I was like, okay, now you have my egg and the sperm is in there. And this, you know, it's already, it's merging and there's life growing in there. And then you have this appointment where you with your husband hand in hand, and you get back your baby. Then the next thing you know is that you count the days. Will the baby stay? Will it grow? You know, does my body take it on?
Right.
And then you count the days, and then the next thing you know, you just know you're pregnant or not. But normally a woman knows it weeks after. That's what I mean. That makes this IVF journey so brutal because you have your baby, you see your baby in this tiny injection from your doctor. I call it your baby because that's the way I felt, right? And then you feel like that's what I meant by this silent grief.
Right.
I felt like I've buried a lot of my babies. It's not that, you know, they were not my babies before that. No, they were the babies the moment I saw them, the doctor's injection. I saw them even under the microscope. You get to know your little one before you even have it in your body. There are so many emotions you're going through. It's a crazy journey.
Yeah.
And it gives you a lot of resilience and a lot of opportunities as well. But yeah, I felt very humble then and very grateful that this journey was successful.
Oh, I love it. Now, let's end with hope. Now, Dia, what would you say to women listening right now who feel broken, ashamed, or alone? What is the most important thing she needs to understand?
I'm going to start with the man's first because I want to end with the woman. For the men who are going through this and the men who are the, let's call them the reason, right? You see, how can I even address this without blaming? It's very hard, right? So if you feel you are the reason or you literally have physical issues as a man, you are not broken as well. There is a lot of opportunities and options, and also look into psychological help or look into opportunities, how you can increase your happiness and increase your cortisol levels. And for men, I know they want this more pragmatic, so I'm not going to go into the sacred journey, but I just, you know, we are holding onto you men's, and we still love you. You are not broken.
Yeah.
Look into it and adapt and learn what your body's trying to teach you. And for the woman, I call them my woman. For the woman, I really, I want to empathize and I want to say that out loud, you are definitely not broken. You are carrying, besides your own journey, you're carrying a very old journey. You're carrying a very old belief, and you're carrying a lot of old ideas and loads of guilt, of identification, how we have to function, what the women are responsible for. You are carrying a collective burden, and you would want to look into that as well and separate it from that what you personally feel. And then it helped me a lot at the time. So, but I wanted to go into hope. You're not broken. Your body is, in fact, really navigating through complexity, through hormonal, to metabolic, to environmental and emotional issues or topics you were not even aware of before they came up.
Yes.
Shame has no place here. Love should have place. Nourishment. It's a sacred journey, and there is a lot of opportunities to still make it an enjoyable one. And your worth, women's, your worth was never dependent on reproduction. Motherhood is sacred, but womanhood is sacred too. And you deserve science, compassion, empowerment, and you really deserve open conversation without silence, because when you do not feel alone, then there is hope anywhere. And I want to close with the sentence that it's worth the fight. Everything, like everything in life, you will only regret what you haven't done. You will never, or mostly you'll not regret what you have done.
Oh, 100%, 100%. Now tell us about the female infertility formula and some of the other products that you sell on Newt.
So the female fertility product is really, really based on, actually, I don't want to repeat it. It's based on every external factor we discovered is a potential issue, or is, if you look into numbers, always comes to those issues. And I'm talking about stress, environmental impact, so on and so forth. So female fertility is balancing that and supporting your system. It's not suppressing anything. It's encouraging your body. It's trying to support your hormonal balance, and trying to support your psychological balance, trying to support your fertility journey, but also your metabolic functions. And if you want to know more about everything, is in www.noot.us, Noot, Noot.us. There's a lot of information about the ingredients. We're very transparent here. And then you will also, it's super cool to see, because you know, I mean, we know about black pepper, for example, just not a great tiny one, but there is so much knowledge, sacred knowledge, which you should dig into. Besides potentially buying our product or not, there is a lot you can learn, and this product combines all the things we have learned, we have understood from a science, but also from a natural perspective. And of course, we have in there our Nude Fiber Blend, which also stabilizes and nurses, looks after your gut, making sure that this gets a little care as well. Because we have now learned, or maybe most of the people already know that, that the gut is responsible for our hormonal balance, mainly, mostly. And the other products, our whole focus with Nuit is having products without any without, absolutely without any fillers in it, natural products. But some of the products, when we go into a biohacking longevity, they do have components which are not natural, but those are very well. If we talk about NAD plus, for example, right? People do love it, and it's such a great product. I mean, I'm now 43, turning 44, and I do love supplements, and I've made sure that our whole product line is based on, let's call it, desires and needs. That's why we have alpha male supporting men's on low testosterone levels, men who do not want to have these injections, or men's with low sperm count. So that's female fertility. We have talked at length about female fertility. That's for the woman. But what would men need, right? They do need proper magnesium. They do need a proper testosterone and hormonal balance in order to be able to support that journey of becoming parents. And but that was not only the topic. For example, very often there is no fertility issue, but there is a libido issue. People are so stressed, they just don't have sex anymore. I mean, how is it then? I mean, even possible? The schedule is crazy, but everybody has its career, and oh my God, we should have sex today. Oh no, I'm in New York and he's in, I don't know, wherever. It's a problem. So believe it or not, Stacey, very often, we haven't spoken about that, couples do IVF because they are not together at the time where it could naturally happen. We live in such a crazy world. So IVF is not only for, let's call it, I do that, I provoke now on purpose, broken people, and I can do it because I'm part of it as well. No, it's very often a very modern way of, oh no, we're planning our fertility journey now. And even crazier, in the US, you have a lot of opportunities to sometimes even choose the gender, of course, that's forbidden in Germany. For example, you can choose that will be the blonde baby, that will be the baby with the blue eyes. There are so many layers if you go into that discussion. But we were just talking about the product. So there's a lot of needs, right? People are having a lot of issues nowadays, and our product portfolio is trying to fulfill and work towards those needs. And at the same time, it's really, really, it relates to our philosophy that nature knows the answer. And if you combine nature with science, you have the best out of both worlds. And that's why we are super obsessed with nootropics as well, adaptogens, nootropics. And those have a very, very, play a very big role in healthy fertility journeys as well. Adaptogens, to adapt to something, is something you may want to look into. And nootropics generally are very, very helpful for all kinds of various issues. And you also really would want to look into your inflammational levels in your body. Because if your body is inflamed, we only have talked about stress and what the impact of stress is. If your body is highly inflamed, and all of us are inflamed in a way.
Yes.
Significant impact on the success of your fertility journey. So that was a long answer. Sorry, Stacey, but you see, it's like not only about selling products. It's for me, it's so much, not only for me, it's for me and my team. It's about so much more. Because you cannot fix anything with a pill. That's for sure. That's not possible, at least in my world. And that's why we want to make sure to have a product line supporting people, but also encouraging and making sure that they take responsibility to drink enough, to eat proper, and to look a little bit into their lifestyle.
Oh, 100%, 100%. Now, I just, you know, I want the listeners to know that infertility is not a personal failure, that it's a complex biological and emotional experience, and no one should carry it in silence. That, you know, if this episode has helped you feel seen or gave you clarity, or, you know, please follow the show, because here we talk about the realities that people are afraid to say out loud and the solutions that help people move forward. Now, before we go, is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Something very personal, because I just observed myself how I feel. And I do feel so much lighter. And my son is now almost 16 years old. It still has such an impact on me talking about it. As I said at the beginning, this was not a show, Dia, talking about her IVF journey or about her fertility issues. That is about facts and solutions and opportunities to optimize that.
Yes.
But I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to you, Stacey. I felt like I had a conversation with a friend. It always feels like that. And to everybody who is going to listen to that, stay strong. And thank you for listening to me, because I'm not sure if you helped me more than I may helped you, because I feel happy, relief, after 16 years. And I have to say, I feel very much excited, and I feel encouraged one more time that we are working with this product, and we have taken the decision, or I have taken a decision, thanks to you, Stacey, and thanks, you know, the trust we have built, that I dare to talk about that very vulnerable part of myself. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much. I thank you. It took a lot of courage to share what you shared today. And so I just want to thank you for coming out, because you definitely are going to help a lot of women out there by sharing your story. So thank you so much, because I know how it feels when you share an intimate story. It's not easy. It's not easy. So thank you so much for coming on the show today, sharing this personal experience. And also for taking, being proactive and finding a possible solution that could help women move forward in life and not feel that there is no solution. There is. And, you know, I just want to commend you on your journey. You've done so much, and I want to say thank you.
Thank you, Stacey. There is people who are having a journey, and there are hosts like you who are making it possible that we talk about it and give others hope. And if we have achieved that, meaning you and me, I'm very, very happy and grateful.
Oh, thank you. Well, you have a great day, and I look forward to us speaking again. And I want everybody to know that Dia has her own podcast on our channel. You can go to her podcast and you can see all the different podcasts that she's taped previously. She's taped many podcasts on all different types of subjects related to, you know, helping yourself and naturally and balancing hormones and being able to really get your body in their most overall health it could possibly, you know, achieve. So take a look at her podcast. You'll be very pleased with it. And if you have any questions, feel free to send it to us and send it to Dia, and we'll be happy to answer them the best we can. Thank you so much for coming on the show, and thank you.
Thank you.